Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, back in studio for a very rare appearance.
A rare appearance indeed. Yes.
I owe this honor.
It makes me feel uncomfortable. I just thought I'd have to show my face to you once in a while, and then I'll be back out on the road again.
Barbara Walters shows up on The View more than you show up on this show, Drew.
That's good times.
How's it feel? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No guest tonight. Paul Tracy, the race car driver, was supposed to come in, but he had a horrible accident and is burnt over 90% of his body. They say he'll never race again. He'll defy them by modifying a special car. No, he's just lazy. He's just tired.
There you go.
He's got to get up at the crack of whatever, and didn't see fit to come in here. Who cares?
So you can abuse him.
No, I don't care. You know me. Most hosts are upset when guests don't show up.
For you, it's less work.
It is.
Yeah.
I got to talk to people that come in here. I got to act like I'm interested. I got to read the thing. I got to give the website out.
You have to interact with a human being.
I have to interact. I have to have a connection with another human.
Well, that's a pretty tall order for you.
Right. All right. So the point is, guests not here. That's just more time for me, more time for us.
Yeah.
And let me say this. I got a couple things to talk about.
First off,
I got a weird nasal thing happening.
You just noticed?
No. How dare you? I have a nasal thing happening where I got some yellow-green. I got amber stuff.
Ooh.
I got amber coming out of one nostril only.
Huh.
How's that work, by the way?
It's infection. I mean, why should it be on both sides?
Why shouldn't it be on both sides?
Yeah, like you've got an infection in your hand? Would it have to be on both sides?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
No, I mean, I don't know. Usually when your nose is clogged, your nose is clogged.
Well, if it's an infection that starts as a virus and then occludes and then the bacteria set up.
Right.
Yeah, get
and you know it's an infection because of the color of what's coming out?
You suspect it, yeah. The pain and the weakness.
I'll tell you, I got this thing going in the morning. I did the one, clog. First off, I don't know if you can do damage to yourself doing this. But if
the one nostril like rocket.
Yeah. I did the one thing, and I was just pushing. I mean, I couldn't have pushed any harder, and it thing started to come out like it was like a piece of yarn sticking through, and I grabbed hold of it and started to pull it, and my brain twisted. Like I started my brain like an outboard motor.
Oh my god!
I mean, I could really feel it. Then it sucked back in.
Oh,
it sucked my hand up into there. It was up to my elbow and in my nostril. I pulled the thing back out. I finally got it out. Felt great.
Was it?
Oh, there's more. There's more. But it's real satisfying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like here's the thing.
It's like popping a zit for you.
Yeah. 99% of the time I pick my nose, it's a nervous habit. There's nothing there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you do that thing where you just sort of scratch and you pick. It's just little sort of snot mites coming off on your hands. But once in a while you grab onto something and you pull it, and it's like pulling a shade down on a window. Like you pull it and you go... it's like when you're fishing. It's like,
Holy Christ, oh my God.
It's on. Like, there's that, well, it got caught, we were trolling, got caught in some weeds or something. And then there's that, this is a strike.
Yeah.
Fish on.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you get that fish on thing. And that's what makes the other 970 hours I spend picking my nose needlessly is, again, it's just a sort of nervous.
Well, now you get that big payoff.
I get the big payday.
It's like random reinforcement.
This was
difficult to extinguish behavior.
I don't know. If this was silver mining, this would be the constant strike.
The mother load.
Yes. I mean, I just pow and I pulled it out. It was satisfying. Like I wanted to enshrine it more and I wanted to throw it away. It was awesome. It was awesome.
So I was in Knoxville last night. And I didn't tell you afterwards. I did like a little local radio show.
Got to do with, is this booger talk?
It could. So the guy on the air is this, like 350 pounds, 6'5".
Overweight guy in radio?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
But jovial and well-kept, groomed and stuff. And I was like, I'm Drew. He's like, well, I'm a horse. I'm like, oh, yes, in the southeast.
Right.
You call the person what they are.
Right. You get called what you are.
He goes, can you tell why?
Even if you're black, by the way, which is the, it's a scary part of that part of the country.
They just call them.
It just
comes right out of them, whatever.
What you is. Okay. Yeah. So you met Haas.
That was funny. I thought it was how interesting that they just call people what they are. You are your name they just give you that describes what you are.
I was thinking more about the personal grooming part, and I thought, as a fat guy, you shouldn't give up grooming. As a fat chick, you can give up grooming. You know what I mean? Like, you see these fat chicks, they got $800 worth of nails on them, you know, the unicorns, and there's been spray paint on the things, and the hair's always done. They're always at the, and then the makeup and the whole, they could give that up. So, fat guy can still put a little pomade in the hair, give himself a shave, get a big belt buckle, because that's the whole thing. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a belt buckle the size of, you know, piece of furniture.
Or like a manhole cover.
Size belt buckle, your huge gut's not going to look that big. Put on some boots or whatever. It's nice, too, like a big ring. Big, chunky, nuggety, pinky
big
ring.
Rock.
Very expensive watch or something. You can still score.
Yeah.
You actually become a little intimidating to guys, and women will have you because they say, this guy's got something going on. He should be a wreck, but look at him. Hair slick back. Women don't need to bother with this. That's all I'm saying. Just put on the muumuu, the slippers. Don't worry. Maybe a little mascara, but that's about it. All right, Drew.
Yep.
So where are we going? You met Haas. You're back. I got a snoogie happening in just the right nostril. I'll be working on that later. And, that's it. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Let me tell you one other quick thing that happened to me today. This is my pet peeve, that I wonder if this I don't think this happens in other cities, by the way. I believe in Los Angeles, people walk around sort of constantly insulted, or at least being prepared to be insulted.
Are you going to tell us either, are you going to tell me about one or two stories? Either you turn right when somebody's trying to cross the street because you didn't see them, and you're the wild man now.
Yes.
Or you had something with a gas station attendant behind the bulletproof glass.
No, it's driving.
Okay.
And thank you for crapping on it. But yes, the jogger that's blowing past the four-way stop sign, you come to, you get down about 2 miles an hour, drop into second, start going again, see the guy dart out in front of your car, hit the brake, and he gives you that. Call the police. This madman, he's made it over the wall, he's climbed into an automobile, and he's a terror. He's on the loose. It's like, hey, a-hole, I'm driving. By the way, did I drive the goddamn car into your living room, or did you just not dart in front of my car?
And, by the way, did you stop or not?
That's what I'm saying. That's my my answer to these guys is, look, I'll apologize when you're crippled. You'll get one of those Whitman samplers and a bouquet and maybe even something that goes on after that.
It's all right.
No, I sign you up for like the coffee of the month thing. You get a sack of a new coffee every. No, when I hit you, a-hole, then you can say something. I haven't hit you, so you can't. And my car's going straight. You are the one who crossed the T. You understand? And it's as if these guys were preparing to jog. They were in their entry hall, and you came sliding around the corner in your Mini Cooper, riding the horn, holding a fifth of tequila with like a couple of chicks in the back seat.
Yeah,
you like
screaming.
Reaching around, trying to snap one of their thongs.
And right up their front porch.
Yeah, went up on the front, chased them, and then they had to dive under their own sofa in order to fight. No! You a-hole, you put the Walkman on, you got no peripheral vision, you weren't a jogging suit that is asphalt color, that actually has the road stripes painted into it, and you go darting in front of my car like a scared deer, and then when I have the temerity to lurch forward and then quickly hit the brake,
you gotta stop
and give me that, this is, what? I mean, I've never been, really? Really? That's it. It's the same. I live up in the hills. It's the same thing. There's no sidewalk. So everyone's jogging. Everyone's trotting. Hold on.
Right.
I'm not done.
Right. I have a follow-up question.
This guy's got another person.
Yeah?
It's they're a little bit older. These are the people that walk through the neighborhood. And you have to. The only acceptable thing is you can't drive past them. Because if you come up on them, they're in their 60s. They're walking their dog. They don't have jobs, by the way. And here's the thing about people when they retire. They think the entire world should have ether pumped into their living room like they do. They just stop. They go. Their metronome goes from tick, tick, tick to just tick, and it just stops. And you have to push it over to the other side. And you come, God forbid, you drive past them. They're like
at the speed limit. Yeah.
Oh,
Huh. Madman on loose.
It's a madman. Yeah, what's he doing? Going to work, perhaps? Maybe he has a date to make? But, yes, you are insane by virtue of the fact that you didn't... You know, they want you to pick up your car. Remember Fred Flintstone? You said, they want you to put your feet through the goddamn floorboard and actually walk your car past
at
them like you're, like you're holding an inner tube around your waist. That's it. And then set it back down when you're past them, and then you can continue to drive.
Those same people get kind of disturbed when you walk around them at the airport, strangely enough.
Yeah. These are the guys that are they're making about a half a knot with a tailwind, and you have to make a flight, so you buzz past them on the people mover, and they're like, this is rape. I've been assaulted.
All right, officer. But now what is it about us, though? Because I have these experiences all the time, too, that if I'm the one who's a pedestrian, I get the guy who is outraged that I'm walking in the crosswalk.
Oh, you see, you get it. You get
I'm in the crosswalk, well, and the guy starts aiming for me. And like, hey, what?
No, it's half Jew, so you're looking. You're looking for trouble.
Right.
You got that victim thing, and you have the parents.
Okay.
Your parents.
But then why do you have that then?
I don't have that. Everybody screws me over legitimately.
No, I don't say I'm not the one going, hey, what's the big deal here? I'm the one, the drivers are doing that to me.
That's how you perceive it.
Okay.
But that's because...
That's because I'm actually the one going, huh.
You live in a snow globe, but instead of snow, there's little pieces of victim falling on you. You're constantly shaking up. Right, you got to look into that, Drew.
Yeah, good times.
Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, basically, what's been going on is I am dating this guy that I have been for about almost 3 months now. He's in the Marines, and so he's stationed in California, and I'm in Illinois. And we started dating when he was home around Christmas, and we decided that we wanted to have sex, and then we went to go do that. And then when he went to go put the condom on, he got soft and couldn't stay hard. And then... it didn't really matter to me that much then, but then I went and visited him a month later.
Well, wait a minute. How did you end that session? Because it's always... Oh, I thought I heard a smoke detector.
No, I think it was just a little feedback.
Okay. Keep an eye on the time anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, how did you end that session? Because it's always really weird when it's like you just sort of coast to a non-orgasm. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, well, I mean, did you
kick it back up again?
Did you try to fluff him up, or what'd you do?
Well, we were fine and everything, and then he went to go put the condom on, and he was soft, and then he couldn't stay hard after that.
No, so you just stopped. Stopped doing what you were doing.
Well, we didn't completely stop. He felt bad for me, so then he basically finished me off. But
okay, that's what Adam was asking.
Yeah.
So
he gave you oral sex.
Yeah. Which was fine. And then, a month later, I went and visited him.
And you didn't try to get him going again?
No. Well, because, we didn't have very much time. So, but later, when I went and visited him, the same thing had happened. Like, we had our own hotel room, and, the first time, he actually finished in his pants. After probably, just taking it slow, doing whatever beforehand before any clothing was taken off, and so then two other times he got soft again, and then I felt bad for him, so then I basically gave him a hand job, and it took a little while for him to get hard again, and once he got hard he finished. And I just I don't know why. It's been about now 9-10 months since he's had sex or done even.
Okay, hold on.
I could have got two off, by the way, during the discoursive.
Say that again?
Just the description. Just the whole story.
Two or three.
Put her on hold. We need to talk about her behind her back a little bit for a couple moments here. It's like it's going to be a little bit like talking to Primitive Man here. It's interesting. I'm not sure that Brittany should be having sex. She's so confused by the body and how things work and can't sort of speak up about things.
In a hand job. Finished in his pants.
But it's all very mysterious and sort of, I can't quite make sense of things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've finished in my pants before, but that was intentional. That's, sweatpants and, in a bib form. You know what I mean? It's pre-hamper.
I see.
See what I'm saying?
There's just no socks available, you're saying.
Right. Right.
I'm proud of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's...
I don't know.
Brittany, what are the plans with this relationship?
Well, we Exactly. Well, I don't know exactly how to put it. We're staying together. We've been together for a couple months. We love each other, and we didn't need sex to figure that out.
That's what Drew and I thought we had the same. We thought we had the same deal.
And sex ruined everything.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. We still don't know what your question is.
I still don't know what
the relationship is either.
Our relationship is great. We can talk about sex and stuff like that perfectly fine. It's just he doesn't understand more. I don't understand. We both don't understand why it is that he can't stay hard when we get to that point to having sex.
All right.
He's fine up until that point.
Do you need a condom?
Do we need it?
Right. Like, in other words, could you use another form of birth control?
We could, yeah. He's coming home in a month, and that we've talked about that, and that's what we're going to try to do.
All right. The other thing he could do is sort of practice with the condom, practice putting them on or even masturbating with them on, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Different condom each time.
Try to get used to how that feels.
Yeah, because the trouble comes when he gets the condom out, right?
But this guy's sort of all over the place. He's premature on one end, and he seems like a very, very anxious guy. How old is he?
He's 19.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and he hasn't had a lot of partners before you?
He's only had three.
Three?
Yeah.
How many have you had?
I've had eight.
And by the way, three is index finger, middle finger, and ring finger.
How does this count?
That's two.
For the
okay. Drew's doing okay. Hey, Brittany, you two kids will work it out.
Okay.
Oh, that is very sophisticated advice.
I don't care. They'll work it out. Look,
My concern is that they just seem over their head with this whole thing, and I still didn't get a clear sense of what the relationship was all about, where it was going. He's super anxious. It's like they do need to work it out. I'll grant you that. They need to spend more time together.
I hate to say it, but I think the condom is becoming a speed bump in the relationship.
For them. Yeah. Well, she's going to go on the pill, and that's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Still STD risk for everybody, so.
Yeah. You know, one of the cornerstones of being stupid is never really knowing what people are asking when they ask stuff. Like, when you go, like, does he need to use the condom? He's got to use a condom. You know, it's like talking into a metal trash can. You just hear your own crappy voice come back at you. No one ever knows what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. What is that people, the dumber you are, the less, the closer you are.
Well, some of it is. I know when
you're
like
a pet.
No, it's A, not listening. And then B, we make, our brains make sense out of things. You know, when we see something out on the street that looks like an animal lying there, it's just a palm leaf, but we made an animal out of it.
Right.
Well, we do that auditorily, too. When we hear something, we think we understand what they're saying. We form it into something that we want it to be.
Yes.
Without listening and trying to figure out what the person intends.
All right. You know, things ironic about that, Drew?
Yeah. I didn't hear any of it.
I stopped listening.
That's nice. See? Yeah. Well, what did you think I said?
I saw your hand move, so I guess you're talking about food.
Uh-huh.
Wendy?
That's good. Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
You're 22.
Uh-huh.
You're a lesbian.
Yes.
You called some weeks ago, and I told you to go to the Olympic Gardens in Las Vegas.
Yes, you did.
Wait, I thought we told your friend to take you there.
Yeah. Told my friend. I was actually with her, but she didn't let me talk to you guys.
All right. So what's up?
You. I just wanted to say thank you because I had a great time. Wanted to let you know you gave me a great recommendation.
All right. Did you... Now, you're a lesbian, so you hung downstairs with the ladies?
Yes, sir.
And did you... Did you go into one of those velvet rooms or champagne rooms?
No, I just watched.
You just watch. Is that good enough for you?
It was great. Had a good time.
Yeah, I would imagine that most of the women downstairs, A, hate men enough, B, are high enough, and C, are sort of just generally sexually flexible enough to hook up with a chick now and again.
Yeah, I didn't get any hookups. Unfortunately.
Were you trying?
I was looking good. I was holding the money.
Yeah.
Well, that's not... That doesn't...
But anyway, were you trying to hook up with the chicks?
No. I wasn't exactly saying, hey, baby, come back to my room, but...
Right. I mean, I feel like as a lesbian, where do you go to cruise for chicks?
You know, not too many places. It's kind of hard.
All righty, then. That's really... All right. Well, she's
happy. It
made
me think it was bogus the way she said that. Because most people would have an answer to that, wouldn't they?
Not anyone who calls this show.
Okay.
Is there ever a response that's anything close to satisfying?
Occasionally, but...
As a lesbian, where do you go to cruise for chicks? Not too many places. It's like playing handball against the drapes. It's so unsatisfying. Every time I do this show, it's like I'm having a dream where I'm running in sand and someone really boring is chasing me.
Does it look like me?
it's blurry. It's got your head, but Lycus's body. So I know he can't catch me. All right, I'm gonna ask Wendy again where she looks for chicks. Wendy.
Yes.
Where do you look for chicks?
Everywhere, Adam.
All right.
Oh, that was even much, much more.
Yes, now I get the sarcastic everywhere.
Yeah, cleared me up.
I just want to know, like, maybe a home center. You got some ladies there. You know what I mean? Like we know where guys go. I mean, guys go to gay bars because there's other guys there, and they just let the games begin. I mean, they're guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pretense. They don't have to pretend like they're going to have a relationship. It's just a glory hole. Line moves to the right, and that's it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's guys, true. Imagine if it was you and a guy, and you had to decide how long into the date you were going to get it on. A man of equal or possibly more passion than you.
It's frightening.
It'd be frightening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you...
How would that work? I mean, that's...
You wouldn't get through the mozzarella sticks before something went down, yes?
Mm.
All right. We have a Germany or Florida here.
Let's do it.
All right. Now, this game is sweeping the nation, by the way. Anderson?
I was just saying it's break time.
Oh, okay.
What is that thing you do, by the way, that makes that crazy noise in our headphones?
You know how I can talk to you, like, off air?
Yeah.
So you just hear it? I just hit that thing so you hear dead air in your ear. It's nice. I thought it was subtle.
No.
Yeah. How about a nice boot in the nards?
How about, like... The only other thing I can think of is like to come on and say, hey, guys, we need to take a break.
Now, look, make that stupid noise. I like that noise.
Okay, all right.
And we just,
it's just not subtle.
Anderson just hits a little button. It makes a little static when it's about time to take a break.
Okay. That was nice and unintrusive, sir.
Fair enough.
No, Drew, don't do that. Otherwise, she's going to talk to you. Ben?
Eight.
There you go. You're 18.
Okay, yeah, I have a Germany and Florida first. Actually, I have a correction on a different one. Like, I don't know if someone else... But, like, last week, you know, there was a caller who talked about the someone kicking the dog and that sort of thing. And it was actually from Tennessee, not from Germany or Florida.
Oh,
so
you
basically, technically, you got it right since it was in the States.
Somebody teed up a dog, basically, and kicked it like a place kicker in football.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said it was Germany and it was really Tennessee. So,
huh.
Anyways, right. Okay, here's the question. A lonesome bachelor becomes a gruesome feast for the creepy crawlies he loved. They devoured his body after he got a lethal bite from his favorite pet, a deadly black widow. More than 200 spiders, several snakes, a gecko, and several thousand termites gorged on their former master for days. Police, who were called in after neighbors complained about the smell, said it was like a scene from a horror movie. They found the remains of the 30-year-old loner draped across the sofa, covered in giant cobwebs. Spiders were running all over him, said a spokesman. They were coming out of his nose and mouth. Larger pieces of flesh had been torn off by the lizards and were taken back to the webs of tarantulas and other bird-eating spiders. There were open cages and terrariums everywhere, all bathed in a weird green light. It was horrible. Police described the victim's tiny apartment as a cross between a botanical garden and the butterfly breeding room in the serial killer movie The Silence of the Lambs.
Wow. Mm. This is good.
That's good. That's
got to
be someone
in the
United States.
Just because the guy keeled over,
why were the cages open?
Why'd all the terrariums get turned over?
I don't know. I'm just reading what I have from the article.
Yeah. What's your source?
It's the mirror.co.uk news, all news page.cfm.
All right. Yeah.
It sounds like a European thing, though.
Yeah, it seems like
anything UK.
Uh-oh.
So there you go.
Yeah, but Drew, that's not the way the game should be played.
Yeah, you asked the question, though.
All right, but here's my point. I don't like this story because, you know, if he falls over after getting bit by a snake or tarantula or something...
Things shouldn't get out.
Why does everything else get out of their cage?
Yeah.
And then what are termites doing eating them, by the way? They would.
Maybe there's something wrong in that translation.
Uh-huh.
Nah.
All right. But
maybe termites should have been tarantulas.
But Florida, you know, that's the kind of place where you'd find a lot of that stuff.
But
we're going Germany.
Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you. That's a fine story. I love the macabre stories like that. I'm sure they're grossly exaggerated, but I still like the idea of, you know, his nose, you know, tarantula scurrying away with his nose. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Drew, who are we going to speak to?
Yeah, it's fine, that one.
Manuel?
Yeah.
Peed with a boner in the morning?
Huh?
That doesn't feel good?
No.
Anal sex?
Huh?
Huh? Nikki and anal sex.
All right.
All right. All that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phones here, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ready to go?
There we go.
All right. We'll speak to Nikki, who's 27. Nikki?
Hi.
Hey.
Here you go. Let's just see how long it takes, shall we?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi. My question is this. The sex that I have generally is anal intercourse, and I want to know if there are any type of medical type of ramifications that might occur from this later on.
Well, what do you think? I'm just curious. I mean, can you sort of use your imagination and think what might happen?
No, I actually don't think that there's anything wrong. My intuition tells me
you can't use your imagination, though, and figure it out. All right. It feels good?
Of course. It's the only way I can orgasm.
Really?
Yes.
Same with Drew. And how long has this been going on, and how many times a week are you good for?
Okay. With my current boyfriend, it's been about 4 years, and we're at least anywhere from 4 to 10 times a week.
Wow. Oh, hold on a second. See, as a guy, and Drew, even as a man of exquisite passion like yourself, I don't know if I'm up to that challenge. Like, I can climb that anal mountain every time there's a lovemaking session. And even so, you know, 8-10 times a week, or between 4 and 10 times. Is that how much fudge can be packed in a month? You know what I mean?
How much pack can a fudge pack pack?
If a fudge pack could pack fudge. Yeah. I know we'd have to ask Mr. Al on this one and try to find out how much fudge could actually be packed in the course of a month or a year. But you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, it'd be weird.
This guy's urethra must need like just a pipe cleaner just to go number one. Like, you know what I'm saying? It must be like taking a Duke core sample every time the guy wants to go number one. Like he goes number one and people come in and go, hey, dude, you just go number two? And it's like, nope. Well, I'm looking at the toilet. First off, smells like hell in here. Secondly, I'm looking at the toilet. Nope, that was number one. Just drop the log right out of the urethra. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm picturing. I mean, if they're not wearing a condom.
And did you get any other flavor from that caller?
A little angry.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little extra around the hips. Nikki?
Yes?
You guys wear a condom?
No.
Wow. What do you do to prepare for this?
We start out with vaginal intercourse and mm-hmm. sort of move on to it.
Best to go that direction.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. The other way is not a good idea.
Yeah, and...
yeah, I can't just do straight up in there. That hurts too much.
No, and... Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, more from a... cleanliness sort of standpoint, but a hygiene standpoint.
No,
but,
no prep.
But, yeah, what do you do any prep, you know, take a shower?
Generally we're clean most of the time, but I mean, it's usually not, it's not a messy thing, really.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine. How dare you, Adam?
Yeah, like if you put your index finger up my ass right now, Jerry, it'd come out same way as it went in. You'd smell it, wouldn't know which finger went up there. You would not. You would not know.
Oh, come on. It's not like that. I mean,
well,
you definitely
that's me.
Know.
That's me. That is me. I'm very particular. So, Nikki, how's your background? Parents, any abuse, anything like that?
None.
parents, dads, what dad do?
What does dad do?
For a living.
Yeah.
For a living. He's kind of done a little bit of everything, did fiberglass for a while, and now is a local driver, truck driver.
Ooh, Drew, what did I write there, by the way? You see that word?
Trucks, yeah.
I wrote truck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Knew he drove a truck. Hmm. Does he drink?
Nope.
Nah, he's
speed.
Swore off that. All right. Parents still together?
They are.
All right.
And no one hit you growing up?
No. I mean, I think my brothers and sisters had, you know, spankings, but nothing that I would call abuse.
But not, right. Not you.
You got any kids?
No. You were never hit.
No.
You got any kids yourself?
I do not.
All right. Good for you. Why not?
It's hard to get pregnant when you're in the wrong place, right?
Well, that's an interesting point.
That's a concrete reason, but that's not a causational reason.
No, I understand. I'm just not ready for kids, so no, I don't have any.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
There you go.
What can go wrong? Well, I mean, here's the thing, and we don't know, because believe it or not, there's not been a lot of studies
on
done.
This. However, by the time you hit 60, 70, you, without this activity, will start to have problems in that area. And with this activity, you can certainly hasten things along a bit. Rectal prolapse, hemorrhoids, abscesses, fistulas.
Yeah.
It's a lovely thing. And, you know, maybe you'll dodge that bullet, but... At the rate you're going, it would seem to me that this would be in your future sooner rather than later.
All right. But again, if you're not experiencing any trauma.
Any pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, I get the flavor, and I don't know this about Nikki, but I get the flavor that she needs these extremely arousing experiences in order to feel sexual. And so she probably takes things to the verge of pain routinely, which is...
Something's up. Yeah. I got something off Nikki, too. I just didn't feel like we were going to get to it.
All right.
Dad worked with fiberglass and is now driving a truck. That's abuse. Works with fiberglass. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah. What's How are you guys question? Doing tonight?
Good.
I had a question. I'm in college, and I'm pretty poor, and I was looking for a job for the summer, and my uncle was telling me about a motorcycle technician training job that Harley-Davidson has.
Yeah.
And a lot of my guy friends are telling me that that'd be a real turnoff and that it's not really feminine and I shouldn't do it.
I think it'd go the other way.
Yeah.
I think guys would be into that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you need a summer job, though, not a summer training program.
Well, but it would be good money to start off. Like, it's something that I'm looking for, and so I'd start this summer, and it'd be something I could do during college.
So... it'd be good money starting off, but...
She means it would keep going.
It'd be no money starting off, but then eventually...
But still, it sounds... I mean, guys would be into that. They'd be totally...
Here's the whole thing. If you're hot and you're a Harley mechanic, it's the coolest thing in the world.
I see, yeah.
If you're a big fat pig and you're Harley mechanic, it's disgusting. But then if you could be a ballerina and the guys would still want nothing to do with you. Mm. So it depends. Are you hot?
Yeah.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Well, what are you worried about, guys? You should be doing things to try to slow them down a little bit.
All right.
Okay, wait, now here's the deal. Here's the deal. All these guys you asked are guys that want to date you. And then you've been sort of telling them you're too busy. They don't want you to be more busy doing other stuff.
You like motorcycles?
I never worked on motorcycles, but I used to help my uncle in his car shop.
Right.
And
should I give you a quick quiz?
I'd rather you didn't. I don't want to embarrass myself.
All right. But you worked on cars with your uncle, right?
Well, I would just help him out. I'm not a mechanic, which is why I would need the training program.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great idea to me.
You do it.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
All right. Or you could go to auctioneer school.
Because she's made for that.
You got it, baby. Yeah, I mean, you're born to move... livestock.
$2, $3, getting me $4. I got $3, $4, $5, $5, $6. I got $7, $8. I got $7, $8, $8. $10 bid.
I don't even know what the hell that's from. I could listen to that all day long. There should be just an auction station. Like, you know, I mean, we got every goddamn station in the world. We got religious, we got the Mexican stations.
Well, there,
we got
there
the
are
sports.
Country
How about just
songs where guys
I
are,
want nothing yeah. but livestock auctioning yeah. 24 hours a day. The morning show guy. Morning show guy is like, heaven and 7 hours, 5 to 7. That's the only 10. Any 10, 7. Weather and traffic coming up. Heaven and 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be great.
It'd be great. I would listen to that. Drew, let's work on that.
Consider it done.
Yeah. I watched the car auctions. You know what they do? They get the hot chick to stand. There's a couple of hot chicks. They stand next to the guy. And then when he gets into the bid off with the other guy, he's got the hot chick. The guy's got the hot chick standing next to him. And she's going, come on, come on, come on. Think how much more apt you would be to make that next bid with the hot chick next to you.
Hmm. Yeah.
Lauren?
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
All right, my question is, oh, by the way, you guys are awesome. I listen to you guys every night. You're
Thanks.
Badass. Anyway, my question is, when I have oral, I have no problem, like, getting it up.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to actually having, like, intercourse, in, like, 5 minutes, it's just gone.
5 minutes. How long does it take? Can you have an orgasm during intercourse?
No.
You're not able to, no matter what. Uh-huh. Even if you retain the erection, you still can't have an orgasm.
Well, I've never actually, unless I'm, like, masturbating or oral, it won't stay up. I can't.
Does it take a long time for you?
What do you mean?
Well, Drew, he can't answer your question.
During the ways he can, does it take a while?
Yeah, it takes a while.
Are you on a medication?
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Turn
your radio down, screwball.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe part of the problem is his name's Lauren.
I suddenly get the image of other guys there listening with him kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah, it's a marginally bogus call, but it's worth probing a little bit. I mean, why not? I'm sure there are guys listening that might have this same problem. Yeah. Lauren?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my sister's name, by the way.
Yeah, I know quite a few girls.
Yeah, I spelled a different way. We got junior, 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 junior producer Lauren over here too, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so anyway, you have the orgasm via oral sex and via masturbation, but not via intercourse. And do you wear a condom when you have intercourse?
I can't even, like, get one on before it goes limp.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And,
Has this been with a girlfriend, somebody you've known well?
Yes, I've had my girlfriend for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time.
Okay. All right. Same person. Now, when you masturbate, what position are you in?
Just laying down on my back.
Now, hold on. Let me close my eyes. All right. What are you wearing?
Oh, jeez.
Now, here's the whole thing. You have to, play how you practice, or practice how you play, or however it works. Meaning, okay, we've talked about this a bunch of times. Guys beat off on their back. They lie down on the bed. They do their thing, and then whatever. And then they get with the chick, and they're 180 degrees off. They're on top of the woman. Next thing you know, they're in sort of a push-up position. Well, if you think about beating off, a guy does not beat off in the push-up position. I am saying that you need to be a sort of jack-off decathlete. You have to get so good that you can do it standing up in the shower.
So you got to change position.
That you can do it while you're driving. Mm-hmm. Even a stick, in my case. Ugh. You can do it actually.
Even on Mulholland.
I've done it. I've squeezed one off while being chased by a neighbor's dog. I'm that good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pants around the ankles.
Oof.
Running from a
I knew you were talented,
part
but,
border collie, part Rottweiler, and actually got one off. When you can do that, then you will have a ninja like Johnson and be able to have sex at any time. Lauren.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your first move. See if you can beat off standing up.
Okay.
Do you think that'll be a challenge?
I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Don't do it in the shower, though. You could lose your footing. That's what happened to my twin brother. I don't normally talk about Kurt.
That's sad.
Yeah, he was standing up. He got cocky. He was trying to squeeze one off in the shower. We didn't. I kept warning him about putting those non-skid daisies on the bottom of the tub, but he wouldn't listen. His foot caught a little of the porcelain paint there, went out. caught his head right on the back of a towel bar, and that's where we found him. Still clinging to his door. Other hand hanging on to laminated porn. Water still running.
Wow, that's why that invention never took off.
The laminated porn?
Yeah.
Yeah, it had a stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom still hasn't gotten over it.
Oh, no, you couldn't possibly. I mean, that
kid had everything going for him, too. He was bound for Harvard. You know, he was a Corolla.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah. Silver spoon. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Hey, yo. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty then. Yeah. What do I do with my nose?
Hot towels?
No. Here's my whole thing. I won't do anything. I don't know why I asked.
And you'll be fine.
I'll be fine, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, I don't mind the snoogie. But hawking up some Major League oysters, too.
Oh, nice.
But, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a phlegmy guy, so I don't have experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the guys that are pros.
Yeah, they can really produce.
Yeah, they're like, whoosh, pow. It happens. I mean, it's like being good at anything. It's like having a, you know, it's like, oh, well, my dad owned a pro shop on the golf course, and I'd been playing since I was eight. You know, you see the guy's got the swing.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to practice that much. Me, I sound like I'm having an epileptic seizure. Like, I sound.
Nice. And that's.
Then it's a spit, and the thing clings to the lip, and it, you know, goes down my chin, and I have to sort of like peel it off, and it gets in the hairs, and then, you know, it's a disaster.
Horrible.
What is that? How come I could never loogie as a kid?
I don't know, Adam. I've not really looked into that.
Did you produce phlegm?
Not really, no.
I seem to go to school with guys who exclusively produced phlegm. Like, I think my school was for phlegmy kids.
There was a certain sort of bravado about that in the 60s.
Loogie. They would just loogie. Yeah. It was a weapon.
Yeah.
It was like a, you know, cobra that shot venom.
Yeah.
Like
you guys quickly graduated to the urine and the poo. It was, you know.
Yeah.
You got past that loogie stuff.
Sure, sure. You know, we matured.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jules?
Yeah?
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a situation.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to try to motivate Jules here. Get her going now. Hey,
break
Jules. Let's go. It's the halfway point of the show. We got to keep this train rolling, so let's break it down, all right?
All right.
Let's get a hand in now, right, Jules?
Yeah.
Helmet's not a chair. Get a hand in now. Break it down. Let's go. What's going on now, Jules? Let's go. Hey, Drew, don't time your clap with mine. You should have it uneven.
A little off. I was trying to do
it. Let's go now, Jules. What do you say now? Break it down now. Let's go. Grab a knee. Let's break it down. What do you got to say?
All right. Well, anyways, I have had problems with my boyfriend. He extremely wants to have sex all the time.
Horny bow. Domestic difficulties. Let's go now.
Yeah, but before he didn't. Not until we started to try to do anal sex.
Turned over a new brown leaf. Got himself a little wind in his sail. Nothing wrong with that. Let's go. Let's break it down.
How long has this been going on?
Get a hand in now. Grab a knee.
How long has this been going on for?
Oh, just about a couple weeks since the last time I called you.
Last time you called?
Yeah. I'm the one that likes to have sex a lot.
You what?
Super horny, possibly abused.
Definitely abused.
Definitely abused, but on the anal train and going down the anal tracks. Let's go now. Let's break it down, Jules.
Anyways, that's all he wants to do now. And it's like, okay.
Hooked on an anus. Can't get him off. Brown heroin. Texas tea.
So this is what you wanted him to be doing, and now he's doing it, you don't want it.
I wanted him to have fun having sex, because I like having sex a lot. And
rolled the anal dice and came up snake eyes. Let's go now.
Came up.
Anyway.
Snake eyes.
No.
Brown eye.
No. Craps.
Craps.
Anyways, it doesn't hurt or anything. It feels great.
Rare correction from Drew. Big man to admit when he's right. Get a hand in. Break it down now.
Anyways, I want to be able to try something new with him, and I've done it.
Man can't live by anal alone! Actually, man can live by anal alone!
Woman can't.
Woman can't live by anal alone!
What'd you want to try?
Well, I don't know. That's what I was asking. I mean,
well, yeah, listen, he'll get over
can't
this.
Can't wean him off the anus without a plan B. He's on plan A right now.
Here's your plan B, Jules. You have all the control.
That's right.
You don't do anything.
That's right.
Until he does it, you're what
get
you
a
want.
Hand in.
Get a hand in.
Take a knee.
Take a knee.
Helmet's not a chair.
But do take a seat.
Break it down, Drew. Let's go now.
Take a seat and then just keep, you're in control. Only do the things you want to do. And if he wants to do something else, you're not in at all.
Satisfy him with copious amounts of oral.
We've done.
Take the edge off.
You what?
We've done role-playing, like I'll dress up or something.
All right, you play the role of someone who won't give up anal. We got
to
take a break.
We do have
to break it down. I got to go number one.
There's a lot more going on here than just the sex. There's something up with how you conduct yourself in relationships. Maybe should we get into that a little bit with her?
No.
No. Just be assertive. Okay, right. Let's just say that. Be assertive. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to keep going with this.
All right, you don't either, Drew.
No, I'm not.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Wow.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Bob Samanek. I'm Sam. Hey, Dr. Drew over here. I tell you, I call my right hand. I was like, my God, I'm Dr. Drew, right in from Tennessee. Now, I'll tell you, let me tell you what I heard about Tennessee. I heard that set in a pot.
And seven of them?
Seven of them.
And Chris.
Hey. Hey, hey. Yeah. All right. We got to get my head on the bone. And I was speaking of Michelle over here. JT, you're so good. I want to like the handles. She sounds like, let me hear your question. Mom said, Drew, when I was 18, I don't know about you, but I was
and then Anderson, did you hear him at the intro? He was
Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah. How you doing? Welcome to the show. What is your name?
What?
So I have a little question on Love Line. Go right ahead, my boy.
Okay. My question, breast cancer runs in my family. My grandma actually died from it.
Oh, my problem.
Well, ever since I was little, my mom told me don't sleep with a bra on.
Uh-huh.
So, I was wondering if... I just assumed that increased your chances of getting breast cancer.
Well, I was talking about, Drew, his wife was a grandmother, was something with breast cancer. Now she said, well, something with the bra on, and I'm thinking,
Hello?
Jill?
Yeah.
All right, so let's have a good doctor over here, because, I'm just a humble radio boy. Drew, let me tell you something. I sit here every night with this mama. He sits here like a blah, 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 blah. But as soon as I start all the time, he's like, and I'm like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you looking for? Somebody. Come on.
Okay.
Hello, Michelle.
Yeah.
I've got to apologize for my problem. He said, blah, blah, blah. Now, okay. Come on, blah. 7:22. It's 22 after 7 with traffic and weather coming up. Drew, I tell you, I tried to make love to my wife the other day. You want to talk about
it?
You want to talk about how about the summer? Hello, I'm 7:24, 24/7. Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah, let's have a Drew. Breast cancer.
What?
Let's have a serious.
No, what I'm trying to say is that my grandma's the one that had breast cancer, not me. But my mom actually had thoughts that she found that was breast cancer. So I'm just trying to figure out if I have a chance of having breast cancer and if I'm about to get that.
Well, I read my up, and I was swimming up, and I'm the biopsy.
What?
No, Drew, come on. Swim on.
Okay. Michelle, the wearing the bra at night will accomplish nothing.
Okay.
And how old was your grandmother when she had breast cancer?
I believe she was 52.
Okay, so she's relatively young. And there are genetic tests you can get to see if you actually are at a special risk of breast cancer.
Newsweek. Article. Radical mastectomy.
Now, yes, there are. If you really, truly have the what's called the BRCA2 gene, BRCA2 or BRC, I forget the names of the genes. They're two BRCA2. All right, but yeah, you can be tested for these genes, and they are put you at risk for ovarian cancer and breast cancer. And sometimes, if people do it, would recommend a mastectomy, taking the breast tissue out if you have these genes. But the fact is, it doesn't necessarily mean you're at high risk. Wearing the bra will accomplish nothing. It's just important to get regular breast exam, learn self-examination techniques, and get regular mammograms.
Speaking of self-examination, I was in the shower there. I will have a breast cancer, but testicular cancer. Well, I'm there, but sometimes... Now I'm in there, you know, picking me up. And I'm there, and I hear... on the door. So I'm like, well, what's wrong with somebody? And I'm somebody, I'm the mother-in-law. And she, I'm sitting there, look at my Mr. Bubble. I'm sitting in the, on the tail bar, whatever, all the dandy, the other ball. She goes running down the stairs. She says to my wife, how? I'm changing my levels of the bathroom, one hand of all. 7:30, 1:31 after them. Woo! All right.
Did read recently that lung cancer has surpassed breast cancer as leading cause of cancer death in women. So something to keep in mind, those of you that are smoking, and even the smoking impact of smoking will last well beyond the decades after which you have stopped smoking. Right. So if you smoke for a few years now as a young person, think you're out of the woods. You won't be.
Well, all of a sudden, what Drew's saying is just because blah, 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 doesn't mean... All right, let's go to somewhere else, Drew. It's kind of gibberish. You're a sucker for gibberish.
Evidently, that and the rape descriptions, the rape crime.
Well, it's
rape.
It's a violent crime.
Violent crime. Your mom raised you with that notion, right? It's a violent crime.
It's not a sexual.
No, it's nothing
crime.
Sexual.
It's
about
an act of violence.
Yes,
where you come at the end. But it is, do not mistake it for a sexual crime. It is a violent, violent crime.
It's same as if you robbed a bank.
But you'd come. But it is not sexual, though. It is a physical, violent assault where you come. it's no different than if you were just walking your dog down the sidewalk and I came up behind you with a bat and viciously started attacking you and then came.
That's right. Same.
Right. It is
How
a crime.
How dare you?
Violent, violent crime where you come. Manuel?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
Didn't we already talk to him?
Mm-mm.
All right. You peed with a boner in the morning.
Yeah.
Now your orgasms don't feel as good.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I think like every guy, you know, I wake up in the morning with wood and, I had to go to the restroom. And so I every morning this happens, but this morning I just couldn't hold it in, right? So I went and stood in the bathtub and just kind of, you know, went.
Yeah. And I think here's a tip. You don't have to actually climb inside the tub. If you're confident,
it's quite an image,
enough,
though. It conjures up quite a sense of
poignant
image.
You stand outside the tub.
Well,
you learned this through trial and error.
I was really going. So, I mean, I was more straight up than straight out. So I wasn't really going to go forward. So I was just kind of afraid that.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. And God forbid you sneeze.
All right, so you're... yeah.
Rainbird.
So when you have an erection, you're up like if it was a drawbridge, it would be half open?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go, you know, almost
all the way
up,
open?
So...
Wow, against the belly. Wow. All right. So you think you've done some damage in terms of sensitivity?
Well, I don't know. To me, it seems like that it doesn't seem nearly as good. And I didn't really think that too much of it until recently. The two separate girls hadn't even thought that I'd gone, you know. And so I'm thinking that maybe I get so little actual movement and reaction down there during the actual, you know, dropping of the load.
So you sort of, you feel like you pulled a muscle down there or something.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
During the actual dropping of the load.
Yeah, it's nice.
The dropping of the load sounds like some sort of a ceremony that has been passed down through generations. Some, the ceremonial dropping of the load.
Well, it sounds like a druid ritual.
Yeah.
Something at Stonehenge or something.
Yeah, something you might get some B-list celebrity to do in your town. Now, for the ceremonial dropping of the load, you know her as the black chick from Star Trek. Then she would make some sort of announcement. All right. What about it, Drew? There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. It doesn't conjure, in my mind, anything specific. I bet it's just maybe an irritation or something in that area.
He'll go away.
I can't imagine it's anything serious. So you'd have to have anything done with it.
Julie.
But if it continues, see a urologist.
Julie?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
I was raped when I was 13, mm-hmm. and it didn't really affect me.
Drew thinks that's funny, by the way. I don't.
Go ahead.
Okay, and it's just like, it's, I don't know, seems to be troubling me now.
How old was the family friend?
He was 22.
And it really sounds more like a rape, huh?
She said rape.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought she said molested. I was
well, screen, see, I told you, poisons your mind. That's what you get for reading.
Were you molested at a younger age?
No.
Nothing, you weren't victimized in any way prior to that?
No.
Was this a violent act, or was it just sort of an exploitation where he kind of seduced you?
No, it was pretty violent.
Violent. And did you report him?
What?
Did you report
him? No, because it was like my best friend's older brother's friend.
Oh, I see.
Somebody that close to your family. I mean,
yeah, I don't
your best friend's older brother's friend's cousin's girlfriend.
I don't know what your point was. So you mean he was... You knew him too well, or you didn't know him well enough, or?
I didn't really know him. Like, that was the first time I met him.
Wouldn't you want to report that?
I don't know. I guess I'm embarrassed about it.
Right.
All right, well, but that means you're a victim, Julie. That means that you don't stand up for yourself. Yeah. You know, you can't.
I
understand you could be confused and shamed, but usually they'll register some defense on their own behalf.
Did you have any kind of crush on him or anything before this?
No, I didn't know him.
Especially when this is an especially violent and scary event.
Yeah, the only reason I asked about the crush thing is if you can feel a little guilty if you're attracted to somebody and then they do this, you think somehow you willed it or you were participating
in it or something
like that. And what do you mean? Now, where did this happen?
It was at my friend's house.
And where was your friend?
She was in the other room because her parents were out of town, and so they're having a party. And I went over there.
And did you scream for help?
I tried, but he was, like, too big.
And he really violently, you know, he tore your clothes off?
He hit me and stuff. And like,
oh, my God. And you didn't report this?
Well, because I mean, my parents didn't know that I was over there. Like, that her parents were out of town and... I don't know. I didn't want them to know
so
that.
I see the whole situation you were hiding. Oh, my goodness.
This guy's an animal.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a 22-year-old guy hitting a 13-year-old and raping her?
Oh, my God. Of course it's bothering. Julie, this is something that needs to be treated. It would be bizarre if you didn't have emotional consequences from something like that.
Yeah.
And I would bet that there was more things going on that you not that you put yourself in a situation so much as the things that were coming to bear at that time. You couldn't be honest with your parents, and you couldn't speak up for yourself when you were the victim of a violent. This was truly a. This was sort of.
Yeah.
We've been kidding about this, but here it is. Even with the, you know, the sexual part of it, it was a violent crime in her case.
Yeah. All right. So, Julie.
Yes.
You gotta get some therapy.
Yeah, let's get some treatment. You in college now?
Yes.
All right. Go to the mental health services at the college. Are you having panic attacks or nightmares or flashbacks or something?
Just like nightmares and stuff. And like my boyfriend is really like supportive in like helping me out and stuff through it. But
that's good.
Well, there's nothing he can really do other than, you know, get you to the therapist. So go to the mental health services at the school. Listen, one of the real frustrating challenges of dealing with college-age kids is that they go to institution.
Wow.
How dare you?
Wow.
But socks the mic every night.
I did.
Don't you know where your hand is? How could there's this huge instrument in front of you. How could you have hit it with your coffee
All right,
truck?
Drew's reacting to me reacting to him punching the mic on a nightly basis. But you got to understand, you do it every night.
I
do
understand.
It once every 6 years.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
Okay. But be that as it may, that was Julie. One of the frustrating things about dealing with college-age kids is they go to institutions where are these very well-developed, elaborate healthcare systems and mental health care systems especially,
yeah,
designed for free for them, for their age specifically, and they just don't go.
Oh, wait a minute. I smell junior college. Julie?
Yeah?
You going to junior college?
No.
Fresno State. Yeah.
4 year?
Yes.
Fresno State.
I got a lot of friends have turned junior college into a 9 year program. But you're going to regular, you're going to Fresno State?
Yes.
Okay. So avail yourself of all
yeah. Use the
they
stuff.
Have.
Use the services, all right?
Take care of yourself.
Okay.
This
you.
Should be a highly treatable thing.
And by the way, you know, you're not going to walk in and talk about this with somebody and have them look at you cross eyed. This is probably 80% of the stuff that comes in there with young women
yeah.
at college age is talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They probably have, you know, groups and counseling and the whole nine yards just specifically for mm-hmm. being rape victims or survivors. Are you ready to roll here,
Jordan? Here we go.
Let's talk to April, who's
Hi,
20.
Adam.
April. Hey.
You're my God. I just
Thank
wanted to
you.
Let you know that.
I'm a fan of yours.
My question for you guys is I normally get strep throat probably about 4 times a year.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa.
Okay.
How is that documented?
I just, for the past probably 4 or 5 years, ever since 8th grade, I seem to get it about 4 times a year.
How is it documented that it's in fact strep?
I go to the doctor.
And they do a strep test? They do a culture or a strep test on you?
Yeah, they do.
And each time it comes up strep?
Yep.
All right.
That does not make sense.
Why not?
Why would one person? Yeah, recurrent strep. Do you have large tonsils?
I don't think so. They haven't ever said anything.
Well,
I can see them, so I think.
I mean, the only thing I could think of that would be at least putting you at risk of recurrent bacterial infections would be tonsils that need to come out. And there's a sort of rule of thumb: if you have more than 4 infections a year, they come out.
Oh, really?
So that would be one.
They had said something about that. About that, if I keep getting it, they want to take it out.
All right, so that's your one. You need to do that.
Yeah, true. Do you
but
have
I
your
seem
tonsils?
To get it yeah. whenever I deep throat. I end up mm-hmm. getting it.
You do that at the doctor's office?
Yeah, Adam. My doctor and I have a personal relationship like that.
Well, Drew has a policy when they can't pony up the deductible for the medical insurance. Things run differently.
Female doctor.
In places. All right, whatever. All right, so you deep, yeah, pretty snobby for someone who does a lot of deep throating. Usually they're more laid back breed. You have a boyfriend?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? But you still manage to do a fair bit of deep throating.
Well, sometimes. Not all the
I like
time,
that.
But.
I don't like the deep throating because to me it's like I don't want my bait to be gobbled up by the fish, you know, that way. It makes me feel like a worm in the, you know, in a big mouth bass.
You feel small.
Yeah, well, I'd like a little gagging and a little, like, this is what I'd like. I'd like just like a little, like, oh, my God, or, oh, I can barely get my hand around it twice, or, you know, something like that. Like, I don't like
we'll
that.
We'll work on that when you and I get together.
Yeah.
But they
Here's what I'd like you to do. First off, no talking when you're doing it, because that's a bad sign, too. Like
don't
when
talk.
You're going like, oh, yeah, baby, that feels good. And they're like, yeah, hey, thanks. you shouldn't be able to form sentences with my penis in your mouth. And then, number two, I want some, like, you don't have to say, like, oh, it's so big, but I want some, like, ooh. Like, you know, when you first see it, you know, you go, oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
you want to try that, April?
But then you'd go, no.
I'll try that, Adam.
No, I you know.
You'd go with it?
You know, look, here's what I'm saying.
You'd feel disingenuous.
Look, you've gotten bad haircuts, right?
Yeah.
But then people have come up and BS'd you a little. No, you look good. You look good. You believe them, right?
Yeah.
You know it's a bad haircut. But
I can't see the haircut.
But you think they like it.
I can't see the haircut. You know
got
what I mean?
A mirror, don't you, goofball?
Yeah, but you're not like, huh?
Nah. You see them looking at you with your bad haircut, you still believe it.
All right.
I think April could do that for me. And then, you know, like you said, like when you try the deep throat, don't be able to pull it off. Okay?
I should pretend to gag then?
Yeah. Yeah.
If this is stirring up that area, you shouldn't be doing that, A. And
so what about the guy getting
penis
a strep?
Can't carry streptococci then?
What about it, Drew?
It doesn't make sense that you'd be with different guys and still getting recurrent strep. You know, it just doesn't fit. You can get chlamydia and gonorrhea of the throat, and that's one of the more commonly increasing categories of STIs right now. So maybe some of it was that, but the whole thing is suspect about it being strep. But if you were getting bacterial infections of the throat recurrently, the tonsils, they need to come out.
All right,
so take care of that.
Some people generically use strep throat when they have a very bad sore throat.
Yes, and that is wrong.
It is wrong.
A totally different thing, yes.
But if you get reoccurring bad sore throats, don't you have to get your tonsils out?
Not necessarily.
No.
No.
So if I was getting reoccurring bad sore throats.
We'd have to figure that out. Were these ulcerating? Were they viral? Were there something related to your nose, your postnasal drip, or what was going on?
But it wouldn't be, let's just take the tonsils out.
No, not necessarily at all.
I sleep with my mouth wide open.
You need all kinds of things fixed up back there. You do.
Wide open.
I know, it must be disgusting.
What I look like is a dead, retarded person when I sleep. I imagine that's what they would look like.
Yeah.
It's wide open. That's a half a pillow shoved in my mouth.
Must be so uncomfortable.
Oh,
how does your wife sleep
horrible,
in the same room with you?
Horrible cotton mouth. Everything.
What is that?
It's just tongue cleaving to the roof of my mouth. It's just like, get up and it's just.
Do you get that thing now where it gets so dry in the back of your throat, it's like you have to cough and
if something makes contact with it, it will spot to it.
Mm.
So then what I usually do is I go to bed about 2:15, 2:30, and then somewhere about 6:45, I lie there and I think, now what's making me more uncomfortable? Yeah. My intense need to urinate or my bone-dry, desert-like sand ashtray of a mouth? And I lie there and I think, man. And then I think, you know, one way I could cure this whole thing and not get up, pee in my mouth. Yes. And then I think, you know, Drew did say urine was sterile.
Sterile.
And then I think, okay. I just got, and then I picture Drew holding a big thumbs, holding a tumbler of frothy urine and a thumbs up right next to it, and that's when I begin.
Nice.
That's when I start.
How'd it work? Are you going to try that tonight?
No,
how was it? Yeah, it's good.
Well, I'm here. I like when people give that answer. I'm here. All right, buddy. Let's take a little break.
Yeah, that'd be good.
When we get back, we're going to speak to Elizabeth. She's a virgin, wants to start having sex with a friend. Can she get boyfriend?
Birth control.
Birth control.
Secretly.
Oh, okay, bud. See, I can read three or four words, but then I run out of steam.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Bush had that problem yesterday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drew.
Let's go. Come on. Let's get some calls down here.
You ready to go?
Show's about the calls.
Let's get a hand in.
All right, here we go.
Let's go now.
Break it down.
Let's go. Break it down. Hey, that helmet's not a chair, gentlemen.
Come on, son. Let's go.
When I call you gentlemen, I use that term loosely. Come on, ladies. Get a hand in, ladies. Let's go. Let's break it down. Yeah. Elizabeth.
Hi.
16. Let's go. Let's get a hand in now. Grab a knee.
Hey. My friend and I want to start having sex. and we're both 16, and we're both virgins.
A male friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not a boyfriend.
Disappointed, not a lesbian. Still willing to continue the call, but barely can go on. Let's go now.
This is your boyfriend?
No, what? Not officially. We've been, like, best friends for, like, 3 years. So, and we told each other.
Yeah. Will you wish that he was your boyfriend?
No.
And if you... This will put you guys...
Something's wrong.
Yeah. Does he not want to be your boyfriend?
It's not like that. He would be if I wanted him to be.
And why don't you want him to be?
I don't know. It's sort of like secret.
It's sort of secret?
Yeah.
The relationship is secret?
Yeah.
Why? Why would that be?
I don't know. Just
why do you keep it a secret?
All right.
Listen, if you can't answer basic questions about who this guy is, why you're in a relationship with him, what you like about him, what you intend to do with the relationship, you should not be having sex with him.
Oh.
Right?
Or be calling the show.
Or that too. Right.
But look, 99% of the time when a woman says, look, I'm hot for a guy, I want to have sex with him, I've known him for a while, I've been wanting to do this for a while, and we don't want to have a relationship, it's just because he doesn't want to have a relationship.
Right, or she's afraid to ask because she knows what the answer will be.
He's made it clear enough, and she doesn't.
Even more clandestine, like he's maybe sort of a bad guy or something. She has to keep it secret that she's even involved with the guy.
Yeah, so here, we're going to give you three options, Elizabeth. One is you do want a relationship with him. You're just not willing to admit it to either us or yourself. Two, you're wildly effed up and have trouble with intimacy, so you just can't handle that. Or three, all of the above.
Or three, this is a clandestine relationship with a guy that you're embarrassed to tell other people about.
No. I guess it would be more like one. I just don't want to screw things up, you know?
All right, well, having sex with him is going to screw you up, not screw things up.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be even more involved with this guy that you know doesn't want to be your boyfriend.
He's going to be using you.
Yeah. Don't do this. Listen, ladies,
please listen to this. Whenever you have a discussion with a guy about having sex, it means he doesn't care that much about you.
Right.
Why?
Because here's how it goes. If there's some chick that you're really into, you want to have... Well, first off, guys want to have sex with everybody.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, if there's some chick that's really hot and you're really into her and you size her up and you're like, wow, I'd be lucky to be going out with this chick, you don't start talking to her about, hey, how about you give me a little handy action or something. No, it's like...
Your best behavior.
I got some tickets to the symphony this weekend, you know. We're going to go... You know, you try to impress her. It's all leading. It's a long road to sex, but it's all leading to that. Now, when you meet, and Drew, if Drew's honest, he'll answer yes to this question. We've all met chicks before that we've sort of sized up and thought, not girlfriend material. I am a little horny. I wouldn't mind hooking up with her for whatever reason.
Women do that, too.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't see this thing going long term. But, hey, I got a boner, and what am I going to do? And that's when you just start talking. Hey, how about you give me something?
But this even sounds worse than that. This is a guy's... leading her to believe it's such a good friend. He's like, hey, come on. Like,
yeah.
We're buddies.
Well, we got to keep it on the QT.
You're so cool. We hang out together. That's just ridiculous. Come on. The guy's an ass.
Now, it is what we originally asserted 5 minutes ago, though, which is you do like him. You don't want to admit it. And you're pretending like you don't because you know what the answer is.
Yeah.
You're going to get yourself in deeper and more enmeshed, and you're going to fall that much harder when he dumps you.
Is going to, rather than become more involved, less involved. Once he has sex, that's it, and that's that.
All right. So we're telling you what to do.
Okay.
Can you listen? And I think there's a part of you that understands the truth.
Let's
hope it's the vagina. All right, Elizabeth. You find a nice guy who'll worship you, like Engineer Chris over here. You know, living at home, 27, making $10.
Takes care of his mom.
$10 an hour. And that's, you know, it's before taxes.
Mm.
After, he's down to whatever minimum wage was in 1981. So I've got $2.35 an hour. No girlfriend. Yes, Chris? Nothing? Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Devastating.
But the point is you need a guy who will worship you.
Oh, Elizabeth. Chris. She lives in Riverside, Chris.
Wow. Chris, no, he wouldn't. He'd be scared to touch you. He'd just stand there when he put coats of carnauba wax on you while you just stood there. It'd be like you're at the car wash. He'd give you the scent, just wax you down. By the way, Who decided we needed the scent in the car? Yeah. Who decided that this was like a huge selling point at the car wash? Like the guy's always like, "What do you want?
You want cinnamon? You want the new car smell?
Yeah. You want the Pine Mountain? You want the musk? You want the Jovan leather?"
And they're always like a little bit offended when you no.
I'm always like, "Hello, am I driving a van with custom seats and raised white lettering on the tires? Look like I've just come from the Home Depot. Like, what's up?" Yeah, I don't want to. And there's nothing worse than that. You know what the worst one is? The vanilla.
Oof.
When I smell scent in a car, here's what I think. Somebody puked in this car recently,
right,
and they're trying to cover it up. Something happened.
Or something spilled.
Somebody stabbed a hooker.
Yeah.
Something. Bong was toppled. Something nefarious went on in this car, and what are they trying to cover up?
Absolutely.
That's why when I smell something in a car, it's like that that skin colored Zit cream. You see the big beige divot on the kid's forehead, and you go, wonder what's brewing under there. You know what you should smell in a car? Smell leather and a little gas that gets stuck up in the headliner.
Flatulence gas.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Nick?
Not gasoline.
Nicole?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I went to the doctor recently, and he said he found a small lump in my breast, but that it was soft, so I shouldn't worry about it. But I'm worrying about it.
All right.
Why go to the doctor if you're not going to take their impression?
Well, he just didn't really explain it very well. So
it's a cyst. You don't need to worry about it. That's it, period.
Okay.
There are those that
what if it's hard?
Well, that's why doctors examine breasts. They're ones that you need to worry about and the ones you don't need to worry about. You can feel the difference. And this is clearly a cyst, and you don't need to worry about it.
What do the hard ones feel like?
Different. They're just different. They're completely different. Different location, different feel, different...
Really, really painful.
But you've said it yourself. It's hard. How is a rock different than a handball?
Go ahead. Keep going.
I'm just saying.
One of them feels like a rock. The other feels like a handball.
And that's the difference. I'm saying that's the difference.
Yeah. Nicole's gone.
I'm here. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Take care, baby doll.
It's normal to have cysts. That's normal.
Yeah. Women have cysts. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Some are more prone to cysts than others?
Absolutely.
Bigger boobs, more cysts?
Not necessarily.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
You want to get a genital piercing?
I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I was just kind of wondering what Dr. Drew's take on it was.
Well, it means something, the fact that you're obsessing about doing that.
I'm not, like, obsessed with it. I've just thought that it might be something I would like to do.
What kind of genital piercing?
Like, it's called a vertical hood piercing.
That means something happened to you, Stephanie, that you
something
have that impulse.
Happened to me?
Yeah, the impulse to do that usually comes from some unfinished business.
Not that I know of.
It hurts my teeth when I bang them against.
I don't know. I just heard about it. I watched a TV show and it had all kinds of piercings and tattoos, and I saw it on there, and I did some research on the internet. And
Hold on, let me say something. This is the direction porn is going, and it breaks my heart.
Piercing?
The piercing, the tats, the weird long saliva trails on the guy's junk. I don't know who decided. Somebody decided, 6 years ago that porn had to start turning evil.
Ooh.
Like, chick's going to take a whiz on the other chick. Yeah, no, the chick with the dragon tat that goes up her ass and the barbell hanging from her wound there. Yeah, she's going to take a whiz on the other chick while she goes down on this dude and leaves the long saliva trail between her mouth.
Great.
And it's like... I'm here to beat off, not throw up. You know what I mean? I'm a mature male who wants to, open a magazine
and
beat off over the sink with the door closed, my foot, slipper stuffed into it. Like an adult and with some dignity. And I don't know where all this is going. The super edgy, sort of hardcore.
Part of it is
like aggressive.
You remember who the people are that you're looking at are people that have been abused severely.
I know.
And so their impulses to do these things probably because maybe they find that arousing.
Yeah, but I want that. I want it to look like this chick just got talked into porn. Like somebody hit her with an ether rag, dragged her in, and forced her into porn. You know what I'm saying? I'm old fashioned that way. I don't like all the super edgy, aggressive piercings and tats and stuff. Stephanie, you have any tats?
Yeah, I have two.
What are they?
I have a butterfly on the small of my back, and I have a little star on top of my foot.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's for you, because God forbid a woman do anything
boring.
For a guy. But, yeah, what is that, you think that attracts guys, or they're into it, or that it lets them know something about you, or how does that work?
I wouldn't do it for anybody else. I've just, you know, I've heard that it, like, heightens your sensitivity, and...
No. He's asking the tattoo.
That's all right. The actual, we'll get back to the
doorbell. Not the tattoos, no.
All right. And are you willing, by the way, to let a stranger, by the way, probably on a methadone maintenance program... And wearing one of those ankle homing devices, so his parole officer knows where he is. You're gonna just spread your legs and let him go at your hood?
I know.
I mean, that just sounds like here's my whole thing. If you're a sane, 19-year-old girl, the idea of stepping out into some storefront with a some foil on the window out off of Venice and Culver and hopping in something and have some guy that some guy just basically looks like sort of a cross between like a punk biker or something who's mm-hmm. clearly had substance abuse problems with his shaky hand go at your vagina.
Just again, the medical community is so controlled and licensed to be able to pierce your skin with a needle or anything else. And this is completely unmonitored, uncontrolled.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do for pain. He's just close to polishing off a big gulp. Why don't you just hold that against your coos for a few minutes and call him when it's numb. He's going to be taking a number two back in the bathroom that, by the way, doesn't have a door, just a curtain. Yeah?
Oh.
I don't go to any business that has curtains inside.
Do you want to ask
That's
what
a bad sign, Drew.
Figure out what happened.
Beads or curtains?
Bad sign.
I need walls and doors and not just hollow core Masonite doors. No, solid core, 1 3/4, exterior variety. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I'm with you.
You don't know anything.
Fire doors.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Uh-huh.
All right. We would say don't do it.
Okay.
Plus, you can lose sensitivity.
Yeah.
Which we have had people call complaining that they can't have organs.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So. That's a common. I mean, you're putting. Why would you choose to put something through a exquisitely sensitive body part? What would the goal be? What would the goal be?
Just going through the hood.
No, I've heard that it can heighten your sensitivity and
until it damages it, until you lose it. So, what would the goal be?
And by the way, whatever you're into just becomes whatever it is after a few months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just your baseline.
But this is it's whatever your sensitivity level is yeah. whatever it is.
It
feels good the first time. I mean, it's like, look, it's like saying, oh, if I got it gets circumcised or I get the get clipped down there or something, well, then there'll be no masturbating for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, that's like 128.
In all years? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying the first one's going to be huge.
Yeah.
The second one might be a decent one, too. But by the time I get to the fifth, later on that evening, I'm back to where I was, right?
Right.
It's just all relative.
But something happened, Stephanie. You don't want to talk about it?
No.
No.
It gets depressing.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back.
Let's take a break.
Stepmom blames her for dad almost dying.
I want to see what new calls they get.
How about that? Right. Stepmom blames her for dad almost dying. You know it's not going to have any payoff. Sarah?
Yeah?
Why does she blame you? What did you do?
What was it? She just doesn't like me and my two sisters at all because we're not her kids. She
all right.
And what's not to like about Sarah?
She sounds like a delight.
Yeah.
Probably just back from finishing school. See, I try.
I just saw Mona Lisa smile on the flight over here today. I immediately thought of Sarah when I reminded me of those women in the film.
I thought we would find out why. Her stepmom blamed her for dad almost dying. We found out what? It's her, not her mom, but it's her stepmom. And then she just doesn't like her. Let's try it one more time. Sarah.
Yeah.
Why does she blame you for your father almost dying?
My dad used to participate in like bike races.
Mm-hmm.
And like right before the race started, I got lost. I was like six.
Mm-hmm.
And And then he was already at the starting line when they found me. Mm-hmm. And during the race something went wrong with my dad's tire, and so he reached down and he got flipped over his handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost died. He was in the hospital for like 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And like on the way, why my stepmom was driving me to the hospital. Mm-hmm. She said it was my fault because I got lost.
Well, it is kind of your fault that his tire blew out.
It is?
Well, I mean, just, you know, simple logic would dictate that when a six-year-old gets lost somewhere around the starting line. All right, first off, yeah, Sarah's a pain in the ass.
But secondly, she doesn't have the clarity of thought that I'd like to wish for her.
I smell junior college. Sarah?
Yeah?
Junior college?
Yeah.
Shocking! I'm flabbergasted! Junior college, Drew. Am I ever wrong?
Never.
Except for earlier tonight. All right, we're going to talk to Sarah, take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. And we move forward with the show, Drew, yes?
Yes. Well, we're sort of moving forward. We're going to go back to Sarah.
Yes.
And move forward.
Yes. Now, Sarah's 20, doesn't get along with her stepmom.
Junior college.
Maybe junior college. Is there a one-year college that's like an annex of a junior college? Like
junior.
Some trailer.
Junior college. Trailer college.
A trailer that's up on pier blocks, like out in the parking lot of the junior college. Sarah.
Yeah.
All right.
So now, you were 6 years old.
Well, look, I didn't want to get into this anymore. Yeah. I don't like your stepmom, but I understand why she doesn't like you as well. So
yeah, but
here's the thing. Here's the deal. Are you living at home?
No, I'm not.
All that's right. Good. Well, then there's really, really nothing to worry about with your stepmom.
Well, no, it's just like whenever I call my dad's house, he wants me to acknowledge her, and I don't acknowledge her at all. And I don't think I deserve. I don't think I have to do that.
And you hearken it all back. It's all that is hard feelings you have about her yelling at you about something kind of goofy when you were 6 years old.
Well, she used to kick me and my sister's ass.
Okay.
And then, before we left for the weekend to go back to my mom's house, mm-hmm. we would have to kiss her.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. With your tongue?
No.
Do you have a lot of piercing, Sarah?
I don't know.
No.
Okay. All right, Sarah, I'm sorry you have an evil stepmother. I do believe she's a bad person.
I understand you don't want to acknowledge her. That's fine.
And you cannot acknowledge her. And if your dad can't respect or acknowledge that, then you may have to cut him off for a little bit, too.
Yeah.
But here's
I already cut him off for like 2 years. I didn't talk to him, and my sisters did the same thing.
How'd that go? Would that work okay for you?
Not really.
All right. Well, now, let's talk about you now. A, let's turn down the goddamn radio. B, what is going on? You're going to junior college. That's a disaster. What
no,
else?
No, actually, it's not. It's going really good.
How do you pay for that?
Financial aid and grants.
And you pay for your living that way, too? I mean, your living arrangements?
Actually, I work full-time, too.
What kind of work do you do?
Right now, I'm a floor technician.
Right now?
Floor technician?
Yeah.
What is that? It means you're running a waxer, right? You're buffing floors?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you using one of those buffers?
Yeah.
Oh. And not interesting to you that I knew the equipment that you were using?
Kinda.
All right, so you're using one of those circular buffers, like in commercial buildings?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they're big old, like little machines.
And are you working at night?
Yeah, actually, I'm at work right now.
All right. Ooh. Hey. Doesn't bother anybody that I know when they work and what the equipment they use.
What's what they do? How dare you? Of course.
Yes, because they think I'm like a kazoo.
No, no.
And I'm on their shoulders.
Right. They think everybody knows what they do because it's what they do.
Right.
So therefore, you should know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's grandiose. stupidity.
But that's it's grandiose what happens if you've been physically abused.
Yes.
As I've said before, you've asked me to bring up my patients that have been sexually or physically abused feel like a piece of S around which the whole world revolves.
Right. And that's what you're dealing with. Sarah. Yeah. Okay, Sarah. Everybody, let me just take a moment and give you some words to live by. You owe nothing to your parents if they weren't good parents. You owe everything to them if they were great parents, and then it's whatever's in between. I mean, quite honestly, if your parents were a 4.5 or a 5 on the parenting scale, and you got to be honest, you got to stand back and look at it, then you can be a 4 or 5 on the child.
It can be your assessment of it, too.
It can't
not
be.
Not what they tell you they were.
No, my parents know that by their own admission, they were like, 3, 3.25. Now I give them about a 2.5.
Little payback.
Everyone's happy. I got a little something, a little interest for all the therapy I'm going through. And there you go. If your stepmom was a 1 or -1, then that's what she gets. If your dad was a 3, you give him a 3. That's what he has. He doesn't have a daughter. He has a 3. Mm. It's about a third of a daughter. Fine. Work hard. Get your crap together. And punish them by being successful, not by getting high and having to move back in the garage.
Good times.
All right. We'll be back after this. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for staying up and listening. Just hocked the loogie in the drinking fountain, Drew, and then I couldn't get it to move.
Oh.
I couldn't get it to go down the thing, you know? And I kept spitting cold water at it. And it was. But here's the thing. The bottom part of it had attached itself to the you know, stainless steel bottom of the drinking fountain, and then the other part was just flapping around like kelp, like in a kelp bed, you know. Just, and I kept running the water.
Great image.
Like I'm spitting at it, and it's like, you ever do that though? Like there's like a booger in the sink or something, and you're like, you know, throwing water at it. It's like it's spot welded to the goddamn sink, and you're thinking, really? What'd I do? Did I glue it on there and then press my thumb into it, or I just shoot a snoogie into the sink? Like, it's clinging to it like it's its life, you know? Yeah. What is that?
It's bad times, but that is.
All right.
There we go.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
How much pack can a fudge pack pack?
If a fudge pack could pack fudge.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.